Let's open the Bibles in the book of Acts. I'm going to read from the 10th chapter. This has been a portion of scripture where the Holy Spirit has been leading me recently to read from more and to study more. And I believe it's something that God has for His body all over the world during this time. And it's in the book of Acts in chapter 10, in verse 1. It says, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Isn't that wonderful that God knows us by our names? He knows your name. And He knows where to find you. Hallelujah. He knows where you are. He knows your home address. He knows your working place. He knows the license plate of your car. He knows the favorite place where you hide when you go hunting. Hallelujah. He knows how to find you. And He's always there for us and He wants to speak to us. Amen. So I know this is hunting season, but while you guys are there waiting to get a deer, God might have a word for you. And you might get a vision from heaven. You never know what can happen. Don't worry that you'll miss your deer. Then there is tomorrow. It's better to get a vision from heaven and a visitation from an angel. And God is just wonderful. He is amazing. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. That's a good question. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial of offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one at his, of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. This man is a soldier. He is a man of authority. He's a man of influence. But he's not a born-again believer. He's a man that draws God's attention. He's a man that is seeking God, but he doesn't really know God too well. And you might be tonight here thinking, I don't know God too well. There are other people that maybe are more spiritual than I am. Don't ever disqualify yourself. Because he was not even born again and he had a divine visitation from the Holy Spirit. Don't ever say, I am too young, I'm just a young person, or I'm a woman, or I'm a poor person. Never disqualify yourself. Because God is looking for hearts that are hungry for Him. He's looking for churches that are hungry for Him. He's looking for local congregations that will go before the throne of grace and pray and intercede and seek God until their communities are changed, until every household will be reached. And this is what God is going to do even in this town. He is stirring up our hearts to pray. He is stirring up our hearts to give. Why? Because this is exactly what Cornelius is doing. How did he draw God's attention? He was faithful. He was devout. He would, let me put it in today's vocabulary and for us, he would go to church every Sunday. He would be there on Wednesday evening where when you have the midweek service. He would be there when it was time to clean, when it was time to do different things in the church, different events, to give Thanksgiving dinners to the poor people. He was there. He was faithful. He was devout. He was generous. His generosity came from his love and for God and his love for those that were in need. It says that he gave to those that were in need. He realized that his blessings and everything that he had, because him being a centurion soldier, he had at least 100 people under him. And he probably had more. And he was in a place, in a town that was very influential during that time, during the Roman time in Jerusalem. And he lived in Caesarea, a town that was one of the major cities in that whole area. So he had influence, but he acknowledged that everything that he had came from God. Even though he didn't fully know God, but he was God-fearing, meaning that he was aware of God. Because we need to be aware of God at school, at work, at home. We need to be aware of God. I think that we'd fight a lot less if we are aware of God more often. That we would watch what we say if we are aware of God. That he is there, that he watches us, that he watches over us, but he also sees our hearts, our motivations, the things that we meditate on, the things that we talk about other people. He was a God-fearing man. He was a man that was faithful, but he was faithful to something that... The interesting thing is that he didn't even fully understand what he was faithful to. He didn't fully understand God. And he still had a lifestyle that was God-fearing and God-centered. He prayed regularly. It wasn't something that he did once in a while. It became a lifestyle for him. And we need to pray as a lifestyle. We need to worship God as a lifestyle. Things don't just happen. Miracles don't happen when we just do things sporadically, once in a while. But things will happen. We'll have harvest when we do things regularly. I grew up in a small village in Romania, in the western part. There was about 500 houses in that village. And my grandparents were farmers. My parents were not, but my grandparents were. My parents still were helping when there was a need. But I enjoyed being with my grandparents because I love the outdoors. I like to be outside. And I noticed something, and everybody that is a farmer will know that you don't have harvest if you don't plant seeds. It's very simple. And especially in Romania, where I grew up, you don't have harvest if you don't take care of those seeds that you put in the ground. As a farmer, you have to regularly be on the ground. You have to be there. You have to be on the field. You have to be taking care of things all the time. It's not just something that's seasonal. It's something that takes you throughout the whole year. Winter is a little bit more of low maintenance, but that's when you get your equipment ready, you work on the equipment, you work on different things around the house, so that everything is ready for springtime when you're really busy on the field. So it's work. But God wants us to be workers in his field. And he wants us to be ready to take care of the harvest, because when harvest comes, it's a lot of work. There's a lot more work during harvest time than any other time throughout the whole year. And we pray for harvest. We pray for souls to be saved. But when that happens, all of us will have to grow very quickly. We have to take more responsibility in our hands. We have to be ready and willing to be stretched. You'll sleep 3 hours a night sometimes during harvest time. Maybe 2 hours. Sometimes people would go without sleep for a whole week just working. Maybe just take a nap throughout the day, 30 minutes. So when harvest comes in our families, at our working place, in our church, we all have to take more responsibility. And what God will do, he will bring people. And we notice this even a church back at home starting this September. There's all of these people that started moving in the city, in Cluj, where we live. People that were living in other places, they moved to where we live. And they came alongside me and David and the church and the vision of the church, and they said, we want to help. We want to work. We want to help. And God will do the same thing here. He will bring people. They will relocate. They will move here because the work will be so big that we will all have to say, help us. Just like Peter, when his boat was about ready, getting ready to sink in the water, and all of his harvest, all of that fish was going to be on the bottom of the sea, he had to ask for help. John had to come and help him. And there are people like John all around us that will come to help. Cornelius was a Roman man, so he had a system of beliefs that was not related to the Jewish ways. And he gave that up. He renounced his former lifestyle. And he embraced faith in God, even though he didn't receive the Lord Jesus as his Savior yet. But he embraced God and faith in God. Ruth was a woman that had to give up her family, her country, her pain, her disappointment, her loss, to be able to move into a place that was called the house of bread, where it was during a harvest time. So for us to step into harvest as individuals and as families and as churches, we need to let go of pain. We need to let go of offenses. We need to let go of disappointments and even religious experiences that we had in the past. So we can embrace the way that the Holy Spirit is moving in the harvest field during this time. Because of the way that the Holy Spirit was doing things during Ruth's time, during Cornelius' time, it was different than the way that things were done in the past. And all of these people, they had to change. They had to step out in faith. And we need to change, all of us, we have to change. If I think about Paul, he had his mind set on a religious career that was going to take him in a certain place, probably becoming the high priest or at least one of the best main leaders in the whole country. And he gave all of that up for the gospel. For what? For winning souls, for the harvest. He had to embrace the way that God was doing things during that time so that he can enter into his calling and destiny. I remember when I graduated high school, in fact, my whole childhood and probably especially in high school, I wanted to become a lawyer. And I was talking to Nicole this morning in the car about how I even went to the law school for 1 year, and then things started to change. And I didn't understand what was happening, but my whole life was messed up with by God. And my plans and everything that I invested in was not going to be the same as my plans were in the past. And we have plans, many of us, especially some of us like to plan things a lot more than other people. You like to plan ahead. You like to have your message ready a month before you're supposed to speak. And then your pastor will come and say, well, I think that you're supposed to speak today. And you think, I'm supposed to speak in a month. But you'll recognize when the Holy Spirit will stir up something inside of you. Or you think, I'll share this word maybe with young people, maybe during chapel, and then the Holy Spirit will come and say, why not in church on Sunday morning? And you're going to say, oh no, God, don't do this to me. And God enjoys stretching our faith and helping us grow in faith. And we need to be people like Cornelius that are willing to follow the instructions of the Holy Spirit. When I gave up law school, it was very hard for me. When you have a dream, when you have something that you invest time, effort, money, everything in, and then you have to give that up, it's difficult. But then everything else started to unfold. What God had for me started to unfold. Never look back with regrets at the things that you give up for Jesus. Because what He has for you is so much better than anything else that you could have planned. My family wanted me to be a lawyer. My parents sacrificed a lot so that I can be a lawyer. And I'm sure it was a big disappointment to them when I chose not to be a lawyer. And it was harder for them when I chose to start ministering and then speaking, preaching. They didn't understand it. And there will be things that maybe your family will not understand, but I want to encourage you to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit with your life. Because after the things, God will speak to them. God will show them things. You don't have to worry about it. I told you that I grew up on a farm, and I grew up playing with boys and playing football, soccer, and I keep on forgetting to say soccer, not football. And then volleyball and handball and basketball, all types of sports. And I enjoyed it so much. And well, after I became a Christian, it was so much easier for me to talk to men around me, to relate to them, because I didn't understand women very well. I didn't understand all of these emotions and the crying, and I didn't understand being sensitive. When I was a kid, I was probably the most insensitive person that you could have met. And that was especially me without Jesus. Because the Lord will change us all. Amen? David told me a story once, and that really encouraged me. He said that when he was younger, his parents, because he was extremely insensitive, his parents would pray that God would give him a wife that is not sensitive. So here am I. I still can handle a lot of pressure by the grace of God. And things don't bother me too much if people say things or, you know, have attitudes. I just smile. I know it's different, but God spoke to me from Jeremiah chapter 1. Don't look at their faces. Don't let their faces intimidate you. Don't allow their reactions stop you from what God is speaking to you. So one night, about four years ago, God gave me a dream. And in my dream, it was several dreams, one after the next one, I was preaching to women. And that was, in my dream, I had the whole message. I could hear myself speak. I knew what I was preaching about. And when I woke up, I didn't understand what happened. And I was thinking, I know it's God, but what does it mean? For some of us, it takes a little bit longer to understand what God wants to speak to us. But obviously, He wanted to speak to me that I'm supposed to do some type of women ministry. And I was praying a lot, and then the Holy Spirit told me that I to start some conferences for women. And I was desperate, because I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how to talk to women. And I started fasting and praying. And I said, Holy Spirit, help me. Show me what they need and give me love so I can show them your love. And that first conference, the Holy Spirit gave me that every detail of how to do things, because I really had no idea. And the people that I was supposed to have around me to help me organize things. And I remember thinking, I don't even know if people will show up for this. And the place was packed with women. And they were so touched. And some of them would say things like, I've never experienced God like this before. I was never in a place where I felt loved like this before. And that was such an encouragement to me. And what it did was, it made me even more hungry. and more desperate so that I know how to do things better and how to reach out to more women. So one thing led to another. This was the third conference that we did, and it was very unusual. Some very unusual people showed up. Women that have influence in the city. And then the Holy Spirit started connecting me through different situations. And this is what I'm speaking tonight about, some divine appointments. God will give you this type of divine appointments. And there's some, like a woman in the city that she is the principal of an international school. And she is part of a foundation that is related to the royal family in Romania. So through a series of events, we got to meet these people and pray with them. And she wanted me to go once a month and pray together with her and with some Christian women in her office for the high school and to pray there for more Christian workers. And she's not a born-again believer yet. She has faith in God. She's like Cornelius. But her eyes have not opened yet completely. Every single time after we pray together, she shakes. She says, I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what I'm feeling like this. What's happening right now? But I feel like this power. And I told her, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. You're feeling the Holy Spirit. And after the meetings with her, she started hiring people that come to our church. She didn't know that they come to our church. I didn't tell her that they come to our church. They didn't tell her that we're going to their church. They applied for the job. There's few people already that are part of the staff teaching at the school today that are part of the church. And they didn't know about it. They didn't know that I was going there to do those meetings. And she didn't know that they were coming to Antioch Christian Center. And I'm thinking, if years ago I'd have been like, oh no, don't do this to me, God. I don't want to do conferences for women. Today, maybe that door would have been still shut and closed. But God has a harvest for each one of you. As you allow the Lord to call your name and to say, can you come and work with me in places where you feel stretched and uncomfortable, where you have to rely not on your own understanding, but on the Holy Spirit. Cornelius, his whole life was about getting ready to change. Cornelius was not at the place where God wanted him to be yet, but Peter was there. Peter was in that place, and Cornelius needed Peter. He needed to connect with Peter. His family needed to connect with Peter, because Peter was carrying the message that the Holy Spirit had for Cornelius' house. And God was orchestrating some things through divine appointments and divine relationships. Your relationships are important to the Holy Spirit. They are part of the plan of God. They are part of the harvest that you're going to receive in your life. And God is moving for you mountains out of the way. He was praying, and prayer is a key. He was praying, and he gets some instructions from God. And he asked for two of his servants and one of his devout soldiers. He's requiring, again, faithful people to carry his need. He entrusts them with something that is so valuable. He gives them understanding of what's happening. He communicates with them. And they go. They go into a town. You know, Joppa and Caesarea, they were fighting against each other. They were at war with each other. So this is where God is sending them, to a place of prejudice. And a place that they are not comfortable to be in. And this is what the Holy Spirit will have each one of us do at times. And as they go there, Peter himself, he goes up on the roof. And he says in verse 9, About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large cloth being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds, and a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the cloth was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the man sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the man, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The man replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He's a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the man into the house to be his guests. Cornelius was praying. Peter was praying. In prayer, there are solutions for you and your family. It is in the presence of God where God will give you strategies. Cornelius immediately followed the instructions. Peter had questions. Cornelius was at the beginning of his walk with God. He was hungry. He was thirsty for God. He had no questions when the Holy Spirit spoke something to him. He said yes. Peter had a walk with Jesus for 3 years. And his belief system was so strong, rooted in Judaism, that he had a lot of questions. And he didn't understand what the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, even though the Lord Jesus spoke to him that you'll take the gospel to the nations. But because he was coming from a people that didn't want to do anything with the nations, he had a lot of baggage and he has a lot of questions. He's speaking to God, "No, you should never say no to God. Never say no to God, because God will always win. Even if that vision has to come three times, even if you have to have that dream every single night, God will have His way." When I was a child, when my mom would ask me to do something, my first response was always no. And my mom didn't like that. You wonder why. My sister, on the other hand, every single time my mom would ask her to do something, she would say yes. But then something would happen between her saying yes and the object, what she was supposed to do. But then for me, I would say no. And then I would feel convicted, even as a child, in a terrible way. You know how when the Holy Spirit is like harassing you? Wow, I would feel so convicted and I would complain about it and think about it, and then I would just go and do it because I couldn't go to bed without doing that thing that my mom asked me to do. And then later on, when I read the Bible, I read there was a man that had two sons. One said yes and never did it, and the other one said no and then did it. And Jesus said that the one that said no but finally did it was made righteous. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God." Whew. You know, when you're doing bad things, but then you realize, oh, it wasn't too bad. Some of us, sometimes we say no when the Holy Spirit will say, "Do this." But I want to encourage you today that God has a second chance. That God will come to you and say again, "Will you do this thing? Will you share the gospel with your friend? Will you speak to that person in your family about me?" He'll come again and again to you, and He will not give up. Even if the vision has to come 3 times, He will never give up on you. And you're going to feel really uncomfortable, and you're going to feel all of this pressure on you, and you cannot get out of God's plan, no matter how much you're fighting it. My sister was she lives in the States. She lives in Indiana. She lived in Florida for a while. She met her husband there. And he's a wonderful man. We love him deeply. He's great. We're so happy for my sister that she has him in her life. He was sent by God. And he got a job in Indiana, to move to Indiana. And my sister used to complain about weather in Florida when it gets too hot and humid. And when she told me that she was moving to Indiana, I laughed. And when she told me that she was moving to Indiana from Florida in November, I really laughed. Because I knew what was going to happen, so I called her on FaceTime. And she was outside, shaking, cold. It was snowing last November. It was really bad weather. And I said, well, how are you doing? Oh, it's so cold here. What are you doing outside? We're waiting for the truck to come with our furniture. And I'm like, how is weather in Indiana compared to Florida? Nothing like rubbing it in, yeah? And she's like, oh, I miss Florida. I really miss being there. But I was happy she moved to Indiana. And the reason that I was happy for her, it was because she moved to Crown Point, Indiana, where that's an hour and 20 minutes away from our home church in the States, Whitehorse Christian Center, where we go there for yearly conferences. And so I was so happy that she was there. I'm thinking, yes, God, my sister, you know, you have a plan with her and her husband. Well, what you guys don't know, and they're going to the Catholic Church together. They love God. They pray together. They serve God there. But I know there is more for them. I know that they are like Cornelius, and God wants them to meet Peter. He wants to introduce them to the Holy Spirit, both of them. And He has plans for them, destiny for them. So this time we went to Indiana, and we visited her for 2 days. And and we plan in such a way that she will drive us to our church in Indiana. And I like to make plans like that. So I told her, well, can you drive us to the conference? We have to be there at that hour, 10 o'clock in the morning, we have to be there. She said, of course. I didn't say anything else. So while in the car, when we were getting very close to the church, I asked her, what do you think about staying for lunch? They give lunch for everybody. They serve like 20,000 meals a year, you know, during the conference times. And I said, they have really good food. That way we get to spend the morning together and we get to have lunch and just be a little bit, you know, spend more time together, sisters. So how can you say no to that? And she said, okay. But then we were sitting right in the front row. And she had to sit next to me. Where else can she sit? And Pastor Jeff had all of the pastors and leaders in the morning. It was just for 5-fold ministers to come and introduce themselves. My sister didn't want to come up. She wanted to sit there. And I said, come on here, you know, in front of everybody. So she cannot say no when somebody's like, come on here. And she came next to me. And I spoke, you know, about what's my name, where I'm from, you know, to the other leaders and what we're doing there. And then I went and I sat down. And Pastor Jeff started asking all of these prophetic questions to my sister. He has never met my sister before, just once, but just very barely. But he doesn't know anything about her. But through the Holy Spirit, he was asking her questions about her dreams that she has from God, and all type of things that she experienced with God. Only the Holy Spirit will know those things. And my sister gave answers, and she was laughing and scared at the same time. And then she came next to me, and she asked me, how does he know all of those things about me? And I said, I didn't say a word to him about you. It is only the Holy Spirit that showed him those things. And after a little while, she's there. I see tears running down her face. And she told me, I'm thinking of not just staying for lunch. I think of staying for the afternoon session too. And she sent a text message to her husband. I'm thinking of staying for the afternoon session. And he sent a text back and said, well, stay for as long as you want. And in the afternoon session, I see my sister in front of the church, and she's worshiping God, and she's crying, and she is today a new person. And she told me how she downloaded all of these preachings, and she's crying in the car, and she feels my relationship with God has been totally changed. And she had a talk with her husband after that. And they are planning on going there now once a month. And he's hungry now. He's hungry. He was always a very open type of a person to God. But God is visiting them. And God is visiting your family. And you are the door into your family. You're the one that opens the door for family members. Cornelius was the one that connected to God in prayer and in fasting. And then when Peter came, Cornelius, he invited his family, he invited his friends. And the houses during that time, him being a rich person, he had a big courtyard. Hundreds of people could be there. A big courtyard. And they're all there gathered together. And Peter is still trying to make sense of what's happening. But you know, Cornelius needed Peter, and Peter needed Cornelius. And when Peter started speaking, preaching to them, he doesn't even get to the place where to mention the Holy Spirit. He talks to them about salvation by grace and about the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people, as they are hearing the message, immediately they believe. They believe every word. Every single word. And while Peter is preaching, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they start speaking in other tongues. And Peter is looking and he's amazed, because he realized, I stepped into something in the spirit that I was not even aware that could happen for me. There are people around you that are hungry for God. They are seeking God. They are not showing it, because they might not worship God the way that you are doing here. But they are seeking God. And they are praying, and some of them are desperate. And you are the one that God has chosen to reach out to them. If you're young or old, if you're a man or a woman, you are the person that God has chosen so that you'll open the door for them. Just like it was for Philip, when the Holy Spirit told him, go into the wilderness, go into the desert. And there was a man, he was reading from the Bible. Philip has never met him before. Cornelius has never met Peter before. But still, hallelujah, but still, when they allowed the Holy Spirit to guide them, they came into a divine appointment and into a time that led to a major door that opened for the gospel. That man from Ethiopia said, how can I understand if there is nobody to show me, to speak to me, to teach me? You can teach somebody. You can help somebody understand. There are people that have experiences with God. They don't understand those experiences. My parents had a lot of experience with God. This fall, Pastor Jeff came for the first time in Romania. First place where he went was in my parents' house. And he had a dream about our house, my parents' house, about my parents, about my grandmother. He saw how the house looked and a lot of details. And he saw the end us praying and my parents talking about God. And this is what happened for an hour and a half while he was there. My parents have never done that before, ever. And we all prayed together and we all talked about God. And I want to say something that we don't even realize how the Holy Spirit is moving on people in our families, on our friends, and even people that we don't know yet. You don't know Cornelius yet, but there is a Cornelius in this community. You need to find him. You need to find that person that is seeking God. You need to pray to God and say, God, give me divine appointments. You are here not by chance and not by mistake. There is destiny that God has for you here. In this community, this is a church of destiny. And you're going to reach out to people in your community being led by the Holy Spirit. And He will give you favor with people. And people will start asking you questions. And you will start talking to them. And you might feel uncomfortable. And you might not understand what's going on. But I want to encourage you to just be open. Because this is a time of harvest. And this is a time of miracles. It's a season of miracles. It's a season of unusual things happening in the spiritual realm. God has opened a door for the church in America that has not been opened for many years. God has opened a door for His church worldwide that has never been opened before. And the Holy Spirit is releasing something that is so different and something that people experience in the book of Acts. You're going to start having dreams and visions and unctions from the Holy Spirit. You're going to start to have words of knowledge and prophetic words coming to you in a level that you have not experienced before. And all of this is going to be because of the harvest, because the Lord loves people. And I believe that God is calling the church during this time to start walking with Him. Not just to, you know, He called us to follow Him. Will you follow me? But I believe that He wants us to also walk with Him. There was a time when the Lord asked me, I said, Mija, will you walk with me? And I asked Him, where? And He said, will you walk with me in the garden? Will you go and see me on my knees as I'm praying? And it's not because of the pain that I'm going to experience. It's because I'm praying for every single person. That I'm interceding for people. I'm praying for them to understand and to really receive salvation. The reason why the Lord was in the garden then before the cross, crying and tears, it was because of us. It was because He loved people. And He asked me, will you walk with me on the streets as I'm going towards the cross to see how people mock me, how they say things against me, how they hurt me, just so that you can understand how much I love people. How much I love people. When people say things to you that are mean, or they mock you because you're a Christian, because you're a believer, think about how the Lord walked on those streets because He loved people and He didn't allow that pain and the words that they said to stop Him from loving them. His love was always perfect and His love was always pure. He loved people so much that He was willing to go to the cross. Will you go with Him to just watch Him there on the cross and understand how much He loves people? I don't think that we can minister to people unless we love people. Unless we love children and older people, women and men with the love of Christ. To love them no matter how they behave towards us, towards those whom we love, towards the church, no matter how they are, still loving them all the way to the cross. Because of the cross and because He loved people, He could come out of the grave with his heart pure and go before the throne of grace and to the Father and say, look on my blood. And there he interceded still and asked for the souls of men and women. And he prayed for our families. And he prayed for our loved ones. He prayed for our brothers and sisters there. He prayed for black men and white men. He prayed there for each one of us. Because he prayed for Romanians and Americans and Mexicans and all of us. He prayed there for us. And that's when God said, because of his love, his pure love, because how much he loved people, the Father answered and sent the Holy Spirit. And then 3,000 people were saved that one day. And when the church will walk with the Lord in the garden and on the streets and on the cross and receive his love and his compassion for people, the church will receive the Spirit in great power for harvest. He wants to give us love. He wants to melt our hearts. He wants to take offense and bitterness and unforgiveness. He wants our hearts to be pure in love for each person. And so that we love people and are ready to serve and willing to go the extra mile. And this is what he would like to pour in our hearts tonight. His love. His love for people. His love for souls. Your family is so valuable to him. So precious to him. Your life. Your ministry. Your calling. He loves you. He's going to fight for you. Don't worry about the mistakes that you made. Just move on in grace. And embrace God's love. And let that love conquer everything in your heart. And let that love lead you into prayer. And if you don't feel love, go in prayer and go on your knees and ask God to give you love for people. That you love every person that you see at Walmart. That you love every person that you see in the marketplace, on the streets. People that you'll meet during Thanksgiving dinner. And people will come. And what will win their hearts is our love for them. It will not just be the bags that we give them, but our willingness to put our arms around them and say, we love you. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Let me stand with you. And I believe that tonight the Holy Spirit wants to increase our capacity to love. Because as we embrace love, our ministries will grow. Our gifts will grow. What Paul said to the church in Corinth was, let me show you a better way. Let me show a more excellent path so that you can grow in the gifts of the Spirit. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Do you know how you grow in the gifts of the Spirit? By seeking love. Seeking the heart of God for people. And when you love people, God will say, I can entrust you with their secrets. I can entrust you with words for them. I can show you things about their family. Because I know that when I show you those things, you'll not judge them. You'll love them. You'll help them. You'll say it in a way that it won't hurt them, but it will help them. Tonight, as we are in the Lord's presence here, I want to invite you to come hungry to God and say, God, I want to be a man, a woman that is full of your love, that is ready to be a worker in your field. This is what Jesus said. He said, the harvest is ready, but we don't have enough workers. Will you be his worker? Will you respond to his calling and say, here am I. Send me, Lord. I'm going to work for you. I'm going to love people. This is what he's asking us tonight to do. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to forgive my brothers, my sisters. I'm going to love them. And I'm going to see a harvest of souls that will know you. And that will be, they will be healed. They will be delivered. They will be filled with the Spirit. Because this is what love does. Hallelujah. Can we stand together?